Alright, we're back with part two with the Polish guy. Baseball preview 2010. We're going to start back here in the National League now. With the American League, I took some risks. Like any good gambler, though, in the National League, I'm not going to take a lot of risks here. You're not going to be surprised by who I'm going to say is going to make the playoffs in the National League, but I'm still going to have an entertaining lot of teams, with the exception of the Pittsburgh Pirates on most days, and with probably exception of my own Mets, because we're not going to be exciting. But let's go ahead and get started here with the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves, now, I'm not sure if you heard these stories, but did you know that Jason Hayward once saved mankind by gathering up two of every animal, one of each sex? He also warned us about the British coming during the American Revolution. I wasn't sure. Now, Jason Hayward has been talked about as being a savior for everything. He's going to be a very good player. He might be Willie Mays eventually. He's still going to be a rookie. These outlandish predictions aren't going to happen. Sensible predictions will, which will still probably give the Braves 25 homers. Still give them a good 350-plus on-base percentage. And probably slugging around 5 to 600. I mean, you're going to get 850 to 900 out of this guy. And that's great. And I believe in the Atlanta Braves because it's Bobby Cox's last season. And this team is going to pitch like it always does. The somehow forgotten Tim Hudson is back. He's already tearing things up in the spring. He's striking out guys like we haven't seen him strike out guys for a long time. Probably since he was with the A's. We're talking like 2003 A's. So I believe in the Atlanta Braves. I believe they're going to have enough offense. I believe that even Troy Gloss, even if he starts for a little while, gives them 15 homers, that'll be fine. I believe that Larry Effin Jones, as I like to call him, I think he's going to have a decent season as well. He's still going to be scary for teams. And like I said, this team's going to pitch. This team's always going to pitch. And it's always going to be a Bobby Cox-like team. And they're going to go out in style. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to finish second to the Phillies in the National League East. I think they're going to get 90 to 95 wins. Questions are, again, Gloss, Chipper, you know, Nate McLouth. They're going to be fine. Escobar is good. I think McLouth is going to be fine. Hanson is going to be amazing out of the three or four hole. Kawakami can step in and probably be decent if Juergens gets hurt because there's a lot of question with his shoulder right now. Jojo Reyes is an underrated five starter. And another underrated move is both the back end of the bullpen. They got Peter Moylan, who would probably close if they really needed him to, but they got Takashi Saito, who, by the way, was lights out only 2 years ago for the Dodgers. I don't know why he was soured upon. And then Billy Wagner's coming off a season where he finished pretty well with the short stint with the Mets and his short stint with the Red Sox. I absolutely believe that Billy Wagner can still close in this league. So the Braves are going to be good. Next, battling for third or fourth place, depending on, you know, where in the 80 to 85 win range they finish, I got the Florida Marlins. As usual, some guys are gone, but the top two of the rotation is extremely underrated. Ricky Nolasco has been lights out in the spring. Josh Johnson, we all know how good he is. They've got a great 1-2. They've got enough offense. It's just a shame that they have to play in front of 11 fans every year. The guy I made fun of last year, Gabby Sanchez, didn't play at all. He's got to be starting third this time, though. So, Gabby Sanchez, I made fun of you a year too early. And I actually don't have a joke for you this time around. You know, maybe you're going to be on The View. I don't know. But, you know, you've got some turmoil there. Freddie Gonzalez apparently is on a hot seat because he didn't make the playoffs. Got to be ridiculous. You pay a team like $10 million and then expect to make the playoffs. So, Jeffrey Loria, unsatisfied. This is the type of guy that, you know, if he gets in a threesome with two very hot strippers, he's going to be angry about the nationalities that they were. something like that. This guy is ridiculous. Freddy Gonzalez gets you 87 wins with a team that has no business being anywhere. And they have an MVP candidate. So, you know, the Marlins, again, they're done sneaking up on me, and they should be done sneaking up on everyone else. They're going to be a good team. But they're not going to win the division. They're not the Phillies. They're not the Braves. They have no one that they're going to really throw money at. At least they did re-sign Josh Johnson at good money. Maybe things will change. But if you can get Ricky Nolasco as a fantasy pitcher, you're going to be a happy guy by the end of the year. When he came back from his injury that he had last year, he was striking out over 10 a game and had a whip around 1. That's all you need. And if you play fantasy, you know what both those mean. So go ahead. Pick him and be happy. All right, I got to talk about my Mets. What can I say? David Wright's not going to hit only 10 homers. Carlos Beltran's going to eventually play. I think Jose Reyes is going to eventually give 100 games. But unfortunately, the Mets didn't answer enough questions in their rotation. The reluctance to give extra money to Derek Lowe is going to haunt them for this season again. And it sucks. Ollie Perez sucks. He will always suck. He'll never get his head out of his ass. Mike Pelfrey has the stuff. But word has it, he's too happy-go-lucky of a guy. So he's too nice, apparently. He's got the stuff, but he's too nice and maybe doesn't care enough. John Main is too mean, but doesn't have enough stuff. So maybe the one out of those three guys is going to have a really good year, and then maybe John Neese is a surprise, but this is not a team that's going to get a contender for the division unless they completely surprise me and make me a very happy man. I hope I'm wrong about this one. Of course I am. I'm a Mets fan. But I got them at 85 wins, battling with the Marlins for third or fourth place, and which is better than last year. Last year was so freaky injury-wise, I just... You know, that can't happen again. Now, fantasy-wise, this team, I don't know. David Wright's still going pretty high, which is a surprise. Maybe if you can get Beltran really late. But you'd rather have a guy that you can give you all 150 games or whatever. But maybe if you can get Carlos Beltran really late and you can get some production with him late in the season, but then you got to use a bench spot. But he's the closest thing I got to a fantasy sleeper on this team. I mean, you know what everyone else is going to do. You know you should stay. You know you should get Johan Santana, you know, in the fifth round if you can. You know that Rodriguez is going to get his 30 saves. They have a higher ERA than most closers. So you know what you're going to get with the Mets. Philadelphia Phillies, as much as it pains this guy, this preview for only one thing is that two of the teams I hate, I gotta admit how good they are. And even though it took 20 minutes before describing that they didn't really upgrade from Cliff Lee to Roy Halladay, I forgot to mention in there a point that should have been obvious in that podcast is that they didn't really need to upgrade. They're already the best team in the National League. I've got them winning 95 to 100 games. Roy Halladay I am not exaggerating when he could win 23 games. He could finish 23-5 with a 2.2 ERA in the National League. This guy's pitching the AL East. And he's pitching on the team, the only team in the National League that has the closest thing to an American League offense that you can have. So, you gotta... It sucks, but the Phillies are really, really good, and they're going to be again. Cole Hamels, everyone thought he had a really bad year last year, but his batting average on balls in play was 30% higher than the rest of his career. And I can thank you for Yahoo Sports for pointing that one out. So, in other words, he was unlucky, and he is going to be good, and... Brad Lidge is their question mark. He's going to be fine. Who cares if he leaves the league and blown saves again? He's going to be fine. Again, the only question is the bullpen deep enough, but they're so good. they're gonna come from behind so many times if they have to. It's ridiculous. Even though this is not really a surprise, though, I think J.A. Happ is going to be the fantasy sleeper for this team. He's going to be throwing in the four hole behind Joe Blanton, who's also given a contract extension. And there's nothing about him that tells me that he's going to be bad. So finally, in the National League East, we got to talk about the Washington Nationals. Now, Steven Strasburg, he is going to be on this team by June. They're going to buy another year of free agency or arbitration rules, whatever they can do best for the team, so they can have this guy for longer. That's the whole reason that's happening. Steven Strasburg could be their number two starter right now and be great. I wouldn't give him number one right away just because that's too much pressure on a guy, but yeah, I'd definitely keep John Lannon as the number one. But this guy's going to be up in June, and we're going to see some great stuff from him. This team might be able to actually pitch. But this is a team that's just improving. They only had 59 wins last year. They're one of the worst teams you've ever seen for the first two or three months of baseball last year. Then they started to get more competitive. Some of the guys started to seem to be growing in their shoes. So I don't have them at 59 wins. I got them 70 to 75. Congrats to the Nationals for, again, being the only team that has two guys named Zimmerman on their team. So, they got that going for them. Jordan Zimmerman is on the 40-man roster, but he's on the DL due to Tommy John surgery. But he did throw off a mound for the first time a couple days ago. Now, again, this is just a young team. You got Justin Maxwell in the outfield. You know, Nigel Morgan's pretty good. Josh Willingham's underrated. And Zimmerman, Dumb, and... Zimmerman, Dunn, and... look, Ivan Rodriguez is old, but at least he gives some veteran leadership. So 70 wins. You know, some improvement there. So that's the NL East. I got Philly, Atlanta, Florida, New York, and Washington. At the Philly taking it, and Atlanta making the playoffs. So two teams in the playoffs already out of the division. Not so shocking is the fact that I still don't have the Cubs winning the World Series. You're going to have to wait another one because, well, one, you sign a guy to play center that was coming off a career year at age 31, which is roughly 4 years past his prime. But although some sabermetrics are going to tell you that real primes are around 25, not 27. So... he might be 6 years off his prime. That's a good old Marlon Byrd. The good news is that Milton Bradley is no longer being interviewed. Bad news is that there's not a lot of improvement here. Soto was awful last year. Maybe he can jump back. Derek Lee's just another year older, and he had a bounce back year. But you don't expect consistent production at the age of 34. Not in these new era. This is, remember, they're not on as many roids anymore. They're only on HGH now, okay? It's a little different. HGH helps you recover, but it doesn't necessarily give you the extra muscle mass and ridiculous power that steroids did. So, although they're off steroids, they're on HGH. So, Derek Lee, so we're going to see more continued fall-offs. So... Carlos Silva's in the rotation because Ted Lilly's not back yet. Carlos Zambrano, I expect him, if you can get him late, he's going to have a bounce back year. I think I'm not going to believe the part where I've read about him readjusting his life because he has children now. I just believe in him because he actually did lose weight and is actually in shape. I think that had a lot to do with this team. Plus, it's great. You're going to see about four homers from him, too. So that'll always help him out. And again, I'm not sold on Carlos Marmol as a closer. He should be great, but we'll see. Now, for the about 17th year in a row, the Cincinnati Reds are a chick team to pick as an underrated team. Normally, I would agree with this, but I've got them finishing about 500. I've got them finishing fourth in the National League Central. I think Aroldis Chapman is probably going to be molding a pretty good pitcher. I actually saw him pitch a little bit. I was impressed. I remember him from the World Baseball Classic. I saw him pitch there. I was pretty impressed then. But I wasn't totally sold. But now I think he's actually going to make something of himself. I think this is a team that has a great base for what they want to eventually do. What they have to do is actually they got to recycle some of their pitching. Aaron Harang is old, and he's not giving them what you want out of a number one starter. He did it for 1 year, but now he's getting old. So they got to recycle a little bit. They got to get that off the books. His $10 million plus, and they got to get Bronson Royals $10 million plus off the books, and they got to trade the 2-for-1. They got to go for the best pitcher available, try to lure him to Cincinnati, and then hope that the young arms can continue to develop. Because if you get some guy not to be named later as a number one pitcher, and then behind him you got Cueto, Volquez, Bailey, and Chapman, that's a pretty good starting rotation. And we all know that they have guys that can hit. We all know Drew Stubbs can hit. We all know that Joey Votto can hit. We all know that Jay Bruce can hit. So this team is going to be able to develop a pretty good offense, and especially in that ballpark, even lower offensively minded guys can become better offensively guys just because of the home park they play in. But, you know, you've got... I'm not sold on them because Arroyo at this point of his career, he's just an innings eater that gives up a lot of hits. He's going to give you 220 innings, but he's going to give up 250 hits. But that's what he is. And he's fine for right now. But that's the type of guy that you have in the number two hole if you're a 500 team. And that's all it is. So I don't expect him getting better. I don't expect Scott Rolen to hit 30 homers again. You know, if we were talking 10 years ago, I'd believe that. So another year. Wait another year, folks. Then we got to go to the Houston Astros. Houston Astros now, they are going to ride Berkman, Oswald, and Lee directly into the ground. Go sideways for a long time. I am not seeing a good future for the Houston Astros. They've got a lot of money still tied up with Carlos Lee. He's given them production, but now this is production where you're not going to see... He's not an $18 million hitter. He's a $13 million hitter. This is the new market. This is the market that's corrected itself a little bit. The superstars get 20 to 25 million, not Carlos Lee. So, unfortunately, this is a team in a holding pattern. I got them at 70 to 75 wins. They got 74 last year. Expect nothing better than that this year. You got, as a fantasy sleeper, if you need steals late, take Michael Bourne. But I'll give you a little interesting stat about him. Michael Bourne, along with my boy, David Wright, became the 5th and 6th members of an exclusive club. Guys that have 10 or less homers in a season and strike out 140 or more times. Also in the club, David Wright from last year, Carlos Gomez, a former Met, Delino DeShields, Michael Bourne, of course, Rick Monday, 1968, and Benji Gill. Benji Gill, congratulations. The only guy from anything earlier than 1990, Rick Monday, 1968. So, congratulations to Michael Bourne for joining that elite club. Again, it becomes very hard if you're a guy that has 140-plus strikeouts and don't hit more than 10 homers. So, Michael Bourne, still fantasy sleeper if you need steals late. Wandy Rodriguez had a... He's another guy that had a career year at 31 years old and needs a pitcher. He's the number two starter. Roy Oswalt, he can't keep this up all year, and I expect him to be traded because he is owed about something like $30 million for the next 2 years, including 2010. He's got 1 year left on his contract, 2011. But this is a team in a holding pattern, so don't get excited about anything this year, Houston, except that your true rebuilding year, unfortunately, it's not here yet because you still have these guys. Now, finishing in second place in the NL Central, the Milwaukee Brewers at 85 to 90 wins. Now, people are going to try to sell you that the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be better this year because their pitching staff is better. Well, it's hard. Yeah, it's better, but we're talking about going from 29th in the league in ERA to 26th. Okay, Randy Wolf is not going to turn this team around. This is the same Randy Wolf that until last year. Now, last year he went 11-7 with 3.23 ERA, but the previous 6 years he had an ERA in between 4.23 and then a lovely 5.56 thrown in there, and he had 52 total wins in those 6 seasons. Now, the last time he had an ERA around 3.2 was when he was 25 years old. That's his true prime. He's now 32 years old. Well, that does not bode well. That is not an upgrade. That is Jeff Supan Part 2 type of thing. That is Braden Looper-esque, that type of thing. So this you have basically this team is Giovanni Gallardo and then a bunch of guys. They do have the best swing reliever in the league in Carlos Villanueva, but he's not truly a starter. He's great at what he does. Spot start, middle relief, that type of thing. And he's great. But unfortunately, he doesn't win a ton of games. As far as getting a guy fantasy-wise, get Gallardo at the same time that Tommy Hansen is going. If you see Tommy Hansen going, Gallardo's on the screen, get him. He is another guy that's going to jump up, in my opinion, and just be a great pitcher. And again, another team that I got to talk about just because they exist, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, the Pirates, unfortunately, probably their streak of being under 500 is going to continue. But things are looking up. After having a few draft picks that aren't in the league anymore, they might actually have some that are coming through. And Pedro Alvarez, who looks completely awesome, and he should be on this team in midsummer, I hope. For their sake, he's ready to go. I mean, this guy in Double A was ridiculous. Batted 330. Look, Pedro Alvarez, just put him on the team. But they'll buy themselves a year, just like everyone else. So expect to see him up probably in June or July. Garrett Jones is an interesting guy. Now, I've actually picked him on my fantasy team because I'm not completely sure if he's for real. He's old. He was in AAA for a while. He came up. But here's the thing. He's actually got some speed. So I picked him up. I expect 20 homers, about 10 steals from him. See, he might be a fantasy sleeper and late pick. But there's not a lot to love about the rotation. For Paul Mahomes, good. Zach Duke's pretty good. You got a Braves cast off, which is always scary in my opinion. Charlie Morton, I think he's scary just simply because he's a Braves cast off. Yeah, you got to give value to get value, and then McLaughlin trade. But whenever the Braves get rid of a pitcher, I'm always wary of what that pitcher eventually does. Just look at how bad Steve Avery was after they got rid of him. So that's why I'm not sold on him. Now, one of those draft picks that we thought was dead, might have been dead in the water, might actually make the team, Brad Lincoln. And, although Ohlendorf is going to be a little insulted by this, but he's the Craig Krenzel of the MLB. It's an insult because he's actually an Ivy Leaguer, but what I mean is this guy is smarter than the average baseball player, but unfortunately, as a baseball player, he's average. So Russ Ohlendorf is not going to carry this rotation. So you're not going to get to 500 again, but things are looking up for Pittsburgh. Finally, in the Central, you got the St. Louis Cardinals. And where do I start with them? They actually got rid of Rick Ankiel, so Colby Rasmus can truly try to become the player we all thought he can. Even though he did play all last year, had 16 homers, had 52 RBIs. Actually, another guy I got really late in the ESPN league. I'm not convinced that Colby Rasmus is going to be the heart of this team, but it's a smart move to give a young guy the edge and not try to re-sign a guy like Ankiel, who's constantly hurt, is older. Although it's a great story how he got back in the league, but it's just a smarter baseball move to not try to re-sign him. Finally, they got two of the best hitters. They're going to be two of the best hitters in the National League. Holiday might have been a middle to a lower guy in the AL, but Matt Holliday in the NL is an all-star. And then, of course, you've got him to protect Pujols. You got the underrated signing of Felipe Lopez, who is a versatile fantasy sleeper in his own right. So this team's going to be good. Can Ryan Ludwig hit 30 homers? Who cares? Because the rotation is Wainwright, Carpenter, Penny. And Brad Penny at this point is perfect as a number three starter in the National League. He had a good bounce back with the Giants. I mean, it cannot be underestimated, the jump from going the AL to NL on these things. It just cannot. I'm a National League guy. I love traditional baseball. I'm an amateur baseball historian. But I'm going to admit to you that the NL is basically quadruple A. Overall, I can't explain exactly why. Maybe because the teams that spend money in the National League, only one of them spends it wisely. Meanwhile, you've got the American League rife with teams who spend money very wisely. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's because there's not as many miserly people in the NL. In the NL, you got to deal with the owners of the Pirates, the Padres, and management of the Marlins. That immediately degrades the talent level. Immediately. And the quality of baseball because of that. So we'll move on to the National League. You got the Arizona Diamondbacks. Man, it sucks that this team is going to get worse because they're kind of a fun team to root for, and I can't really explain why. Maybe because I got a buddy in Arizona. I don't know. But, you know, they finished with only 70 wins last year, had injury problems. I think they might win a few more games just because Justin Upton is that freaking good. Justin Upton might end up being the best player in the National League when it's all said and done at the end of the year. You can say that, right? Except for Pujols. Anytime you say a comment like that in the National League, you gotta say except for Pujols. But he can definitely be up there as far as the greatest superstar in the National League. Unfortunately, no one's going to be able to see him because he plays for a team that's not going to be very good. I think this team is going to be decimated in the rotation all year. I don't think Dan Heron can continue doing what he's doing, although he's a great pitcher. I don't think he can keep racking up the innings he has on his arm. And I don't think he's going to have any protection because he's going to be forced as the number one starter because I do not expect Brandon Webb to pitch. I'm sorry. It does not look good. Too many innings for this team is going to be given to the likes of Kevin Mulvey and Billy Buckner. And it might as well be the actual Bill Buckner that almost everyone else remembers from 1986. Might as well let him pitch because it's going to have the same effect. Mark Reynolds is going to strike out 200 times. He's going to hit 40 homers. I think he'll be fine with the new contract that he's got. Ian Kennedy is going to start. Another AL to NL guy. Ian Kennedy is now definitely in the rotation. He might be the 2 or 3 guy because of the good spring that he's had. I think he's going to be fine, but I'm not going to call him a 17-20 game winner yet. Let's see him win 12-15 first, then we can talk about Ian Kennedy again next year. Now, here's the thing. We also have no idea exactly what's going to happen to closer here for this team. You can't tell me Aaron Heilman's going to do it. You can't tell the Qualls is going to be able to do it all year. You can't tell me Bobby Howery's going to be able to do it all year. So, if they're actually in contention, they might be in the Let's Buy a Closer sweepstakes that's going to happen in July for a couple of the contending teams. And, of course, the first team on that list is going to be the Twins. But the Twins, I don't see them making a huge move without doing it extremely... Without doing it in an extremely efficient and smart manner. So it'd be interesting. But, again, I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to be going for it. Well, next is Colorado Rockies, and they won 92 games last year. I got them winning almost exactly the same amount this year, 90-95 wins, and I got them in first place. We'll get to exactly why the Dodgers won't do it. We'll get to them soon. Now, why do I believe in the Rockies? Well, let's see. They've got a lot of guys offensively that I feel are on the rise, that are in a good spot age-wise and role-wise to excel. They are a very deep team offensively. This isn't the old cores. You know, not everyone has to hit 30 homers, but they certainly have the ability for guys to do things like that. You've got possible MVP candidate for Troy Tulowitzki, who might hit 30 homers from the shortstop spot again. You got a fantasy sleeper, in my opinion, Ian Stewart, who had 25 homers and is rated as a second baseman and third baseman. So he's a good swing guy. If you're not happy where you're at second base, get Ian Stewart. He's going to hit you 25 homers. He's not going to hit 220 again. Don't worry about that. That's going to go back up. Barmas can hit 25 homers. Iannetta's underrated as a hitting catcher. Seth Smith is fine. Carlos Gonzalez was awesome in the playoffs. He was a pretty good guy in the regular season in about a half a season. He had over 10 steals. He had over 10 homers. You know, and he's only 24. And then, of course, in right field, you have the ultimate platoon of Brad Hopp and Ryan Spielborgs. This team is good. Now, I'm not convinced that Jeff Francis is truly their two-starter again, that he's finally back. But Ubaldo Jimenez and Jorge De La Rosa. By the way, De La Rosa was tied for league leading wins last year. Bet you didn't know that. Now, you know, again, the question is, when is Houston Street going to come back? But the thing is, again, this is a deep team. Manny Korpis is behind him. He can close. He's had saves before in his career. Rafael Betancourt left the AL. Was awesome down the stretch for the Rockies last year. Who says he can't do that again? So there's just less questions for the Rockies than there is for anybody else in the American League West. Now we get to the Dodgers. This is where it gets interesting. I really think this is one of the few instances that things off the field that has nothing to do with the guys in the clubhouse will really affect this team. The McCourts, they're in L.A. It's going to be a messy divorce. Everything's going to be out on the table. Everyone's going to ask questions about this. I think it's going to affect the team. I think this team is so good in the bullpen, and the offense is so good. They're still going to get 85 to 90 wins, but I don't think it's going to be enough to catch the Rockies. I think Manram is now the guy that's the non-Roid Manny, he's Paul Konerko now. He's 25 homers, 75 RBIs, and he's going to bat 270 to 300. I just hope he doesn't stick around too long and his career batting average falls under 300, because that'd be truly sad. Because Manny Ramirez in his prime, there really wasn't a better right-handed hitter. There just wasn't. Now, so a lot of people in Los Angeles are talking about how Clayton Kershaw is the next Sandy Koufax. And let me tell you something. Sandy Koufax is my hero. I love how he went out on top. I love how he threw through pain. I respect his... Now, personally, I'm not going to talk about how I am in this, but I love how he, with his religious beliefs, he truly believed on the point that he didn't pitch World Series games, but then threw a two-hit shutout on 2 days' rest. This guy was ridiculous. Clayton Kershaw is no Sandy Koufax, but if Sandy Koufax can teach him to throw a little bit better curveball, Clayton Kershaw is going to be a great pitcher in this league. So, you know, he could be a guy, and he's 22. He's a southpaw, so we'll see what happens. But just let's stop with the comparison. Can we stop all comparisons in sports? Can we stop this whole, how about Clayton Kershaw is actually Clayton Kershaw? All right, I'm guilty of this. I'm sure I'll be guilty of it again, but there's no other Sandy Koufax. You know, unless it's the 60s again, and Clayton Kershaw is putting his arm in a bucket of ice after the games, and then having to stop his career because of possible paralysis in the arm, then we can talk about him being Sandy Koufax. Now, here's the thing. James Loney, Matt Kemp, Manny Ramirez, Andre Ether, Rafael Furcal, Russell Martin eventually. This is a great offense. You know, you got the beardless Casey Blake, which I think is a terrible mistake. I actually think Casey Blake is now going to be the worst hitter in their lineup because he doesn't have his beard. But you have a lot of questions when you're talking about Vicente Padilla continuing what he did last year. Old guys that jump back and have seasons like that are a lot of times they're going to be flukes. Not everybody is Jamie Moyer or Tim Wakefield, guys that can have very rough parts in the middle of their career and then come back and then and be very good pitchers. Not everyone is that guy. I certainly, nothing tells me about the past of Vicente Padilla that's going to make me believe that he's one of those guys. So, you know, Kuroda, you don't ever really know what you're going to get with him. I mean, this is Kershaw and Billingsley, and just pray. Pray for rain. Pray for a lot of days off. But their bullpen with Belisario, Trinkosko, Koo, Sherrill, and Broxton, there's none better. So the Dodgers, second place. Then we get to the San Diego Padres, which is the other team that we had to talk about simply because they're in the league. Whether they should be is up to some debate. Fantasy sleeper for the Dodgers, I guess. I mean, if you can get Kemp late first round, take him. If he's not taken in the top seven, make sure you take him. But on to the Padres. So they spent some money for John Garland and Yordan Torrealba. I can't figure why. I mean, why just go all in with the young guy stuff? We all know that Adrian Gonzalez is going to be traded in July. Most likely on July 31st. Most likely to the Boston Red Sox. We all know this is going to happen. And they have got a good base for the future pitching-wise, I think. And they should continue. They should try to get another couple of young hitters for Adrian Gonzalez when they trade him. I don't know who you're going to get for the Red Sox for that. I don't know. Maybe won't go for the Red Sox. But, yeah, I don't know. Kyle Blanks had great stats for his short year. A lot of people love him. He might be a fantasy sleeper. Yordan Torrealba, he's an underrated hitting catcher. But I'm not sure what that ballpark's going to do to him. So I would have put him as a fantasy sleeper, but you just don't know what that ballpark's going to do to anybody. I don't know if this team's ever going to spend money again. That's sad. I mean, the Dodgers at this point are a team that is starting to fall off. This owner situation is something that other teams in the area should be able to take advantage of. And a team I like to think about is San Diego. You can get fans there to love your team, but they simply are not ever going to be good. Now, this rotation could be good. Kevin Correa is probably a number one and easily can be proven to be a number one. Garland will eat up innings, but Young has to stay healthy. Clayton Richard and Matt Latos, you know, they can hold off other teams offensively, pitching-wise. They can pitch to other teams very well. But again, I don't... Look, if your best hitter is going to be Kyle Blanks, even if that Kyle Blanks, by the end of the year, by I mean, of course, it's Adrian Gonzalez now, even if that best hitter is a 25-homer guy, that's still only your best hitter is a 25-homer guy. So, not looking good. I got the Padres winning 65-70 games, finishing last. And finally, we're ready to wrap this up with the San Francisco Giants. And sadly, this is going to sound familiar, but the Giants can't hit. Shocking. And, you know, again, they're going to have this great rotation, and they're going to lose a bunch of 3-2 ball games. I actually have questions about Tim Lincecum. I'm just saying injury-wise. I'm not going to give you the crap about, you know, his pitching motion is the reason he's going to get hurt. I just think he's going to get hurt because he's throwing a lot of innings for a young guy, and they moved him along a little bit, but there's been a little bit of drop in velocity the last 2 years, and that's a red flag, and he's thrown a lot of innings. You know, he's just a young guy, and most pitchers get hurt at some point. I just think it's going to happen soon for Lincecum, and then he'll be fine. But I'm not going to give you... Because really, I believe that if a pitcher is comfortable with his pitching motion, and it's just not... It's not completely herky-jerky, it's not completely obvious that there's a ton of stress on something, he's fine. And although he's unorthodox, he's fine. Do you think Juan Marichal had a orthodox pitching motion? Did Louis Tiant? Those guys didn't get hurt a lot. They were fine. Juan Marichal threw more innings and won more games in the 60s than almost everybody. So I think he's going to be fine. So I'm not going to give you that crap. I'm going to give you the crap that says, look, this is just a young guy that's thrown a lot of innings. There's nothing more than that. So due to the questions, yeah, I got San Francisco winning 80-85 games just because their pitching can carry them that far. But they don't have enough hitting. Not even with the Kung Fu Panda, Giant Panda, whatever the hell you want to call him. You know, Edgar Renteria's back on the team, except now he's 73 years old instead of 71 years old. Benji Molina said no to the Mets, said I want to come back here, which might have been smart because he's got to be catching more interesting pitchers, but it's not going to be smart because really he's going to be the number four hitter again. And somehow they expect Aaron Rowan to still be a leadoff guy. So, Giants, you know, you get what you get. You got Lincecum, Kane, Zito, Sanchez, and then Todd Wellenmeyer is going to be your fifth starter, and he's had a kick-ass spring, but it's just not going to be enough for the Giants to make the playoffs. So in the National League, to sum up, in the Central, to rehash this, it's St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Houston, and Pittsburgh. And in the West, you got Colorado, Dodgers, Giants, Diamondbacks, Padres. And really, the Padres can easily supplant the Diamondbacks, just like they did last year. In the playoffs, they got Colorado facing Philly, with Philly winning. Atlanta going to St. Louis and losing to St. Louis. And then I got Philadelphia beating St. Louis in a great, great NLCS. That's going to be a great series. I'm looking forward to it. But I'm not looking forward to the World Series, which I'm going to go with an exact rehash of last year. Phillies, Yankees, with the Yankees winning. And I feel like I want to throw up. But there you go, folks. Enjoy your fantasy seasons. Enjoy the actual baseball seasons. We'll, of course, revisit this because 50% of everything I just said is guaranteed to be wrong. But it's going to be a fun time getting there. Enjoy the baseball season. Thanks for listening again. And we'll be back with another podcast soon. And it's going to be in regular format with probably going to have a buddy on. We'll have the Model American and all that good stuff. And look forward. We got some special treats for you for the big, big NFL draft preview that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. Not too far away now. But right now, it's opening day in baseball. Everyone enjoy.